Radio's on and I'm moving around the place. I check my look in the mirror. Wanna change my clothes, my hair, my face. But I ain't getting nowhere. I'm just living in a dumb life.
The other morning I discovered Hot Chip. That's who they are, right? Tom? Hot Chip? Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here on a Thursday morning, Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in. One artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. All right. We played a little techno song there because we're talking tech, as we often do, with our good friend Ian Schur. He is the news editor-at-large with CNET.com, which is a great website. And we always have him on. Usually about once a month to talk about all the latest in tech news. So let's bring Ian onto the show. Ian, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Tell everybody, you know, just an update what you do and tell us about CNET and all that cool stuff, just so people who maybe are first-time listeners.
Yeah, so CNET is the world's largest tech news and review site. And we basically review anything that has a power plug in it and an internet connection. And so you will find us talking about video game consoles. We obviously follow Black Friday really closely. I think we have one of the best TV testing groups in the world, and they gave me a really good recommendation for a TV, so I'm really excited about buying one this year after 10 years of using the same one. And, you know, we just really try to make sure to understand how tech is affecting our lives, from political issues and election interference all the way down to if a company decides to sell a new gadget, whether or not it's worth it, and whether or not they're doing right by you.
Yeah. Well, it's a great website, and it's CNET.com. And by the way, what kind of TV are you getting? Who guided you to the TV that you're getting?
So David Katzmeier is our TV wizard, and we have some videos on CNET you should check out about how he does the testing. It's rather insane. But he has been really a fan of TCL, which is a Chinese company. They sell these TVs that have Roku software in them. If you have read a lot of my stuff, you know that most of my household has been Apple since 2004.
Right.
But he's a real fan of these TCL TVs. He thinks they're the best value for the money. And so a colleague of mine bought one last year. He loves it. So I have finally decided to jump on the train.
Oh, that's cool. So when are you getting it?
Well, one of the really fascinating things about Black Friday this year is that I can actually buy it right now. What's been really interesting is that a lot of the Black Friday sales, you know, it used to be that we would all wait and like bated breath, if you're really into Black Friday, for when the announcements would come out, or better, when they would leak, right? And these websites would scoop them up and they'd have this big fanfare about the blurry image of the of the catalog, and to find out what's on sale. Well, now all the companies are just releasing their sales early, and in fact, a lot of TVs are on their Black Friday sale right now. And you're promised that the price won't change after Thanksgiving. This is the sale. So I've been eyeing actually one of them that's about $100 less. And what I've decided is that I'm going to buy it, and then if it goes even cheaper on Black Friday, since I've delayed shipping, I'm going to then say, hey, give me the price cut, or I'm going to buy it from the other guy. So that's how I'm playing my game. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, since you mentioned Black Friday, you guys have put together some Black Friday deals. You've been covering this, and you got a whole bunch of them, new Black Friday 2019 deals. Give us some info on those.
You know, I think it's really important to remember that there's a lot of debate about where the value in Black Friday deals is. And for a lot of people, for example, one of the things we've learned is that Black Friday sometimes is a time when retailers try to kind of hike the prices up and then drop them so they can say, we dropped our price 30%, but in fact they didn't. And so one of the great things we've seen is that there are these tools on the internet. One of my favorites is called Camel. Camel, camel. That's the word camel3times.com. And that you plug any Amazon link into there, it will tell you the price history of that thing. So you can find out whether your Black Friday deal is actually a deal. And because of these systems that have started to pop up, we can tell that there are some really good deals out there. So, for example, at CNET, as you mentioned, we have this list of the best Black Friday deals. And a good example of them is, in fact, a lot of the Amazon devices. If you are into Amazon's devices, whether it's their stuff for your kitchen to be able to help you do recipes, or if it's a device that you can talk to in your home, I won't say its name so I don't set them all off, you can actually buy them at good prices now. And you're talking about saving, in some cases, $100 on these devices. And we have been reviewing every one of them. So that's a really good one. Apple's AirPods, for some reason, are going on sale a lot these days. So you can pick those up for pretty cheap. We're talking 15, 20 bucks off, which, you know, when it's a $150 device or a $250 device, you're getting a pretty good deal there. And then the final thing is also all these smart home devices. You know, you've got the world of Ring and Nest and all these other people. They are all dropping their prices like stones because they really want to get your attention.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this list. Boy, there are a lot of good deals here. And you can save, you can save a lot of money. And it's a pretty comprehensive list. And it covers all kinds of gadgets and all kinds of devices and all kinds of things. So, yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, if you're looking for even better stuff, you know, it's not just that list. We actually have lists from every one of the lists. If you go to the bottom of it, we have stuff separated out by the best computer deals, the best gaming deals. I mean, it's just crazy how much effort we put into this. And we're not alone. A lot of people do it, but I like to think we do a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, and it's got everything from video doorbells where you can save money. You can get an Apple Watch series. You can get an Apple Watch for a great price. And also, you tell people where to buy them. Like, what are the best places What are the best places to get them?
Exactly. So yeah, we're really trying. You know, there's this whole along with the kind of effort to make this stuff a lot more transparent. What's happened is this cottage industry of people who are really good at finding this stuff has popped up. And we have, for example, there's a daily email we send out called The Cheapskate, which is run by one of our people. And it's literally like the best deal on the internet today. And one of the great things about it is that, again, because of all this transparency, we're able to tell you, oh, here's the review. Here's whether or not we think, you know, our advice is whether it's worth buying or not. And here's where you're going to get the best deal on it. And that's just really cool, I think.
Yeah. And it covers, I'm also looking at this, and you guys also tell people how they can get the Living DNA 3-in-1 Ancestry Kit, and it's only $69. You can save $30 on that. You even include an Ancestry Kit.
Yes, exactly. No, we're all over the place. Because it's not just about tech, right? It's about tech culture and Ancestry stuff especially. I mean, you look on any ad on television these days or in magazines, everyone's wanting to learn about their family history. I guess nostalgia is really in season.
Yeah.
So that's why part of our interests are there, too. You know, we're not just looking, hey, let's get you the best video game. Hey, let's get you the best TV. But also the culture around it, right? Whether or not Apple TV Plus is worth it, or Disney Plus, or all that stuff. We're trying to think out as many ways as we can about how it's not just the technology, but how it impacts your life.
Yeah. Well, you guys do a great job. And also, I've noticed this in commercials and advertisements this season. The term now, Black November. So are we talking about an entire month of shopping? Is that what we're talking about now?
I mean, this is really like, you know, you think back to when they used to make jokes about how Christmas was no longer in December, right? It was a whole season. And, I think, look, part of the reason that this is happening this year is that the retailers have kind of thrown their hands up and said, okay, keeping this stuff secret isn't worth it. We realize that if we run the deals longer, people are just going to buy them, so that's better. But also, there's a quirk of the calendar this year that Christmas and Black Friday are closer together than they've been in a long time.
Thanksgiving's really late this year.
Exactly. Yeah. So as a result, the retailers, who of course have to answer to Wall Street at one point or another,
sure,
want to get as many sales as they can under the deadline as they can possibly. So part of this is them trying to be smart about getting us all to buy stuff.
Sure.
But we end up winning a little bit in the end, so why not?
Yeah. You guys are covering, obviously, you're also covering Cyber Monday, which has become a big thing as well over the past few years.
Yep, Cyber Monday and Giving Tuesday, right? We have a list of companies and places to look at that stuff as well. I mean, And I'm sure they're going to come up with something for Wednesday not too long from now. So, yeah, we're definitely trying to do.
Yeah, there's no question about
maybe
it.
Maybe my credit card whaling Wednesday, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
You guys also, in the article that I'm looking at, why is it called Black Friday is a question, and you guys answer that.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of funny. The history of Black Friday, I think one of my best kind of stories about it is that, you know, the idea that, you know, this had been back in the 50s and really that all of the retailers would not be able to make enough money until the time they would be losing money up until the holiday season. And then sales would go so high that they would get into the black. And that's why I call it Black Friday.
There it goes.
So, you know, it's really funny how, again, like the shopping culture that exists around us. Right. And, you know, it's funny to think of capitalism in this way, but really how much retailing has changed the way we think in the last 50 years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, really fun stuff and a great guide. Everybody go to CNET.com. Everything that we're going to be talking about, all of these articles are available at CNET.com. Ian, hang on, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Ian Schur is with us from CNET.com. He's a news editor at large. More with Ian about tech after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Thursday night. Lots of fun stuff on the show this morning. Triple Play Thursday. Again, get your requests in now. One artist, three songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected on our Facebook page with facebook.com/Nick D Show. We are having our monthly visit with Ian Schur, who's a news editor at large for CNET.com, and we're talking all kinds of tech news and info. So let's bring Ian back. Ian, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. So I think a lot of people are excited about this Motorola Razr, and I think some of it has to do with nostalgic because people really loved the old Razr phone. But it's got like it's this one's the foldable phone, and you guys actually answer six burning questions about the Motorola Razr. So let's talk about this. This people are very excited about this.
Yeah. So first off, this device is really fascinating. So Motorola, you may remember the iconic Razr came out in 2004 or 2005. It changed the way that we thought about phones, right? I mean, it was so sleek and so modern. And I remember the ads, right? That they would show it on its profile, and I remember thinking, oh my god, that is so thin. I've never seen a phone this thin.
Yeah.
And then everyone had one. So now Motorola, of course, they were sold to Google. That did not go very well. So then they were sold off to Lenovo. So they're owned by this Chinese company now that's one of the biggest computer makers in the world. And they're coming out with this new version of the Razr. And what's really fascinating about it, as you mentioned, is that it has a folding screen inside. So instead of having the buttons like it did back then, it now has one big screen. And, the folding phone craze has been really fascinating. Like, there was the Galaxy Fold from Samsung, Huawei has the Mate X. Both of these are tablets that fold into phones. What Motorola decided to do was take a phone and fold it into a smaller phone, which, hey, I'm all for.
Yeah.
What's really interesting about this is we got, you know, at CNET, we got the exclusive look at it. So we have a ton of videos and a lot of talk about behind the scenes, how they built it. And one of the things that we wanted to point out to people is even though we got this time to look at it, we don't know everything. And one of the most burning questions we have, well, there are two really. One is whether or not the battery life lives up to what they say, because it is really hard when you've got a whole screen to light that screen for as long as people do. And the Razr is thin. So that's a new problem because batteries just haven't been getting better. And a thinner phone means a smaller battery means less battery life. So I'm really curious to see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
But the other question that we're really fascinated by is the screen itself. You know, Samsung had to basically pull the phone, the Samsung Galaxy Fold, from being sold the week it was coming out
right.
because reviewers noticed that there were problems with it. Like, literally, sand getting from your pocket into the phone would destroy it, which is not normal.
Yeah.
So we don't know how this screen is going to do. Most of these screens are covered in plastic, not glass, because glass doesn't bend, but plastic does. Mm-hmm. So we don't know whether or not this thing's going to be durable, and we haven't had enough time to torture test it to find out.
Okay, well, that would be the first question that I would have, because of the past problems with foldable phones and foldable screens and stuff like that. That would be my first question would be, how durable is it?
Yeah, and I think what's going to be interesting is I have a feeling, because these are all plastic displays, that at some point they're going to have to come up with a solution for this. I remember when Palm first came out with their devices, you know, the personal digital assistants everyone had. Well, not everyone, the nerds like me had. one thing about it is that it had a plastic screen. So if you had that little stylus and you used it the wrong way, you would scratch the screen up, and it was really, really sad. The glass solved that for a lot of us. We don't scratch our glasses easily, but now we're going back to plastic for all these foldable phones. They really need to solve this, because people are not used to scratching their displays.
They're also concerned, I guess, concerns like how splash-proof the screen is, and, you know, just keeping it around in daily life and how, you know, if it was splash-proof or not.
Yeah, and also whether or not it can survive being folded a ton of times. You know, we did a torture test of the Samsung Galaxy Fold, because they said it would last up to 200,000 folds. That's what they tested on. So we got a device that we actually had made that would fold it, and we did it for 12 hours, and we got it up to 100,000+, and it broke.
Uh-huh.
So we found that it didn't live up to expectations. So, of course, now every folding phone that we find, we're going to have to figure out, does it fold correctly and for how long?
Yeah, wow. All right. And then the other people are concerned, or not concerned, but they're curious as to whether or not it's going to come in any other colors than black.
Well, yeah, right. And the original Razer came in gray and black, I think. But by the end of its life, it was coming in pink and all of these neon colors. So I'm sure if this thing takes off, they'll do that. I mean, why wouldn't you? But in the meantime, yeah, I have a feeling the launch time, people are going to probably be looking at and monotone colors, right? Because they want to just prove to us that it works.
Yeah. Well, okay. All right. Well, there you go. That's the when is it coming out?
So they say sometime next year, which means that they are missing the holiday rush. No Black Friday on that one.
Right.
But the other thing is that they're saying it's going to be $1,500. Which is a tall order for this thing. Yeah, that's not cheap. To be fair, the original Razer was also expensive. So, you know, people had sticker shock around that too. So welcome back to 2005. But also the other thing is that all of these folding phone screens right now have expensive. Like the Samsung Galaxy Fold is $2,000. The Huawei Mate X, I don't think they even have a pay price on it, which means it may be worse than that. And so it's not surprising to hear that this is expensive. It's going to be a while before folding phones become a standard thing that we all have, if they do.
Wow. So, Tom and I were Tom has the Disney Plus. Are people at CNET talking about Disney Plus? Do people have it?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. So there are a lot of people who have it. I'm one of the few who doesn't. But a lot of us, and by the way, the reason I don't is that I went around and bought a lot of the DVDs for the movies I cared about a long time ago. So I don't need it, right? I've got most everything I want. Except for if I want to watch The Mandalorian, which I may wait until it comes out on DVD.
Right.
But a lot of my colleagues were signed up immediately. By the way, we have an instructions on CNET if you want to be able to get some extra free time if you do want to sign up.
Okay.
But one of the things about it is that it is getting a ton of attention. So we have a really good frequently asked questions list. It is long, but it explains everything you've ever wanted to know about this thing. Why are people talking about it? What shows are on it? Whether or not it's worth it, we've reviewed a lot of the shows already, so we're able to tell you whether those are worth it. So, yeah, we try to be pretty comprehensive because, again, you know, it's not just tech, it's how it impacts our lives.
Sure.
This is the golden age of television. We've got to keep an eye on how this stuff is going, right?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Tom, you're enjoying Disney Plus, correct?
Yeah, my girlfriend's enjoying it even more.
Yeah.
Because she can watch The Princess Diaries 1 and 2 on repeat.
There you go, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, later on, they're going to release a new version of Disney Plus that includes ESPN and Hulu in a bundle, and you'll be able to have the sports stuff and possibly finally be able to get rid of your cable bill if you want to do that. So that's really fascinating, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny. And then, of course, you know, obviously you heard about how it kind of broke the internet when everybody tried to get on at the same time. And, of course, it was just a small glitch. It wasn't a big deal, Tom, right? But it was, of course, it became a huge deal on the internet.
Yeah, nothing that I could tell was too insane. Some people were getting unnecessarily upset, but it was working within a few hours of me signing up that morning.
So, there you go. Another story.
And by the way,
yeah,
all of these products fail in the beginning. Like, I've never seen a big launch go well, like,
yeah,
ever. I mean, even when the original iPods were coming out, right, and everyone would get them at Christmas, I remember it. Like, iTunes would fail every year. Like, they just couldn't keep up. So, you know, it's not a surprise Disney struggled. But still, it's a little bit of a black eye. But, you know, now they're pretty much handled.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just such a, I mean, you know, everything becomes a big deal on the internet. People are like, oh, it's the worst. I can't believe this, you know. And then it was just, it was a small glitch that was fixed in a few hours, and now everybody seems to be happy about it. But I love that everything becomes a big deal on the internet. That's always
yes,
the case.
I will point out one thing, though. There is one thing going around about people talking about their Disney Plus accounts being hacked.
Mm.
The reason it appears that that's going on, Disney insists they haven't been hacked, is that likely what researchers think is going on is that, you know, we all have a lot of our information out there on the internet because Adobe and all these other people have been hacked in the past. And if you had an account with them, your stuff is on the internet. Yahoo, everybody.
Yeah.
So what they think is going on is that a lot of people want to watch Disney Plus, right? Especially for the Mandalorian, Star Wars stuff. So what they're doing is that they're taking your stuff, your old passwords that they can find in these databases, and they're trying them on Disney Plus because everyone uses the same password everywhere. And that is why people are getting into people's accounts.
Uh-huh.
So the one thing I plead with all of you listening, get yourselves a password manager. They're really good to use these days. We have a great list on CNET. And change your friggin' password. Stop using the same one everywhere you go. That is the number one reason everyone gets hacked.
Yeah.
It's not because security is bad. It's because we all suck at our passwords.
Right.
So get on it.
Get on it and keep your Disney Plus safe. All right, Ian, hang on, okay?
Yep.
All right. Ian Schur is with us, and he is a news editor at large at CNET.com, a great website. And you can follow him on Twitter at Ian Schur, S-H-E-R-R. More with Ian about tech after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Thursday. Thursday morning. Get your request for Triple Play Thursday in at 312-981-7200. Here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. And Ian Schur is a news editor at large for CNET.com. He joins us about once a month to talk tech. And let's get Ian back in here. Hi, Ian.
Hi. I got to say, every month I say this, I think, I love listening to the opening songs that you and Tom pick every time. Like,
yeah,
it is so fun.
Yeah,
you
Tom,
guys have a great taste for that.
That's Tom. That's all Tom. Tom handles all the picking all the music bumps and stuff like that. So, yeah. There you go.
Hooray for Tom.
All right.
I enjoy it.
All right. Well, listen, it's hard to believe that we're coming to the end of a decade. I mean, it's just crazy. But we are. And you guys are covering the decade, and you guys are doing decade in review, and you have some of the tech scandals of the decade. Tell us a little bit about those things that happened in the past 10 years.
Yeah, so I got assigned in, you know, we've been doing all of these things, decade in review, right? The, like, all of the worst stuff that kind of went wrong, or the privacy concerns, or even how computers changed, how phones changed. I got all the scandals, right? Which is like, oh my God, I ended up writing, I'm not kidding you, like 30 pages worth. And that was after I whittled them down.
Mm.
So what we've been doing over the last week is releasing all of them in little kind of posts so that people can digest them in a decent amount of time. And it's really fascinating. Like, one of the trends I found, and if you read the pieces I wrote, one of the things you'll find is that in the beginning of 2010s, it was all about products, right? Like Apple Maps failing or the antenna gate on the Apple iPhone 4. Remember, you couldn't hold it right?
Right.
And then would suddenly the, right, all of that stuff. You know, there was talk about how there were a couple of apps out there that came out that people didn't like People, P-E-E-P-L-E, which if you don't remember that, it was a way to actually give a judgment of a person. Like, it was like literally Yelp for people, which is like mind-bogglingly awful. But there was a lot of that stuff that happened, and that was the beginning of the decade. And as we went along, suddenly the tech industry went from like these little scandals about technology to these massive scandals about how they're impacting our daily lives, right? And suddenly it's like election interference and the downfall of democracy and these major privacy fails that expose billions of people's information. It's just it's a head slap. Like, it's amazing how much has changed, and over the last 4 years in particular, how bad it's gotten. And I really found that fascinating as I went through this.
Yeah, well, some of the ones that you've got here are I had sort of completely forgotten about, but I love that you included the whole Edward Snowden thing.
Yes, very important, right? I mean, still he's an issue, right? But Edward Snowden, of course, exposed all of those NSA secrets about how they're spying on all of us. They basically proved everyone with a tinfoil hat to be correct. And now we're in this situation where, you know, we still are dealing with the fallout of what he's taught us, right? Even though most of what he's done is, you know, has reverberated and we've had all these conversations, the trust in the government, I think, has completely changed. And the assumption of our privacy in technology has gone so sour that Apple is able to market its devices as being private. And it's just incredible to watch this all happening in a lot of ways, thanks to him.
Yeah. It's a crazy stuff. I mean, well, they made a movie out of it, too.
They made several. Yeah, exactly.
All right. How about BlackBerry's fall? You remember when everybody had a BlackBerry?
Oh, my gosh. I remember, you know, I remember when BlackBerry really had their moment, which was unfortunately coincided with 9/11. You know, there was a lot of talk about how during 9/11, all the phone lines were down. It was really hard for people to communicate. But the leadership on Capitol Hill all had been issued BlackBerries, and they were some of the only people who were able to communicate in the middle of all of that that was going on. And that was the moment everyone said, oh, my God, I got to get one, right? And so BlackBerry just became this huge company, and they really owned the market for years. They were competing with Microsoft and Palm to really be the leader. And until the iPhone came out, they were the people to beat. And then the iPhone just trounced them within a couple of years. And I think one of my favorite stories that came out of that is that I think it was Wired did this incredible behind-the-scenes story of BlackBerry when the iPhone was announced. And the best part about it is that apparently all of the CEOs and the heads of the company were sitting in a room watching Steve Jobs give the presentation of the first iPhone, and they were laughing at it. And they said, this can't possibly be true. Mm. It's got to be fake. This thing is going to fail. And, of course, it took over and completely destroyed their company.
Yeah, absolutely. And how about the rise and fall of Google Plus?
Right? Another really fascinating story. You know, Google Plus, I think, was one of those things that everyone was looking at social networking, again, as this positive thing before the world kind of turned sour. And so we were all thinking, okay, well, is it all going to be Facebook or is there going to be someone else? And Google coming in, they already had Gmail accounts for all of us and everything. We thought, okay, this is going to be huge. And I admit, I signed up on day one because I thought it would be. And it's really fascinating how they completely screwed it up. And this thing, within a year, was declared a virtual ghost town, and it never recovered. Mm. And what's perhaps even funnier than that is that 7 years it took them to shut it down. And they only shut it down after they found someone had hacked 500,000 people at it, of course, and that they decided to shut it down in August of this year.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, there's more going on here, and you guys are continuing to do the decade in review as we get closer to the end of the year. So all that stuff is up on at CNET.com.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. There's a story that I want to get to before we run out of time. There's now a trash talking robot that's going to tell you how much you suck at gaming.
Why not, right? I mean, I've got enough 12-year-olds I can meet, but apparently we need a robot, too.
Yeah.
You know, I think what's really fascinating is that the reason this exists is that researchers at Carnegie Mellon University in Pennsylvania wanted to learn how humans and robots interact. And one of the fascinating things about it is that up until now, according to the researchers, all of the interactions have been positive. They've only tested whether or not we like robots when they're nice to us. And they were curious, well, what does it feel like when a robot's mean to you?
Yeah.
Right? And apparently when they're mean to you, we really get flustered. They found that people's game scores suffered pretty bad when the robot was unkind and would say stuff like, I have to say, you are a terrible player, or stuff like that. And suddenly people would, like, get bad, worse at the game. So it's a good lesson to you, because eventually our robot overlords will take over. Get ready for them to be mean at you, because apparently that's the way they're going to do it.
Wow. Okay. I like that they're doing that kind of research at Carnegie Mellon. That's really very good. Before we get out, speaking of gaming, tell us a little bit about, before we get out of here, Google Stadia.
Yeah, so this is supposed to be like the future of gaming. So you know how we all watch videos on Netflix and Hulu now? We don't really have the file on our computers. They get streamed to us over the internet.
Right.
And believe it or not, that's like a 12-year-old idea. Like it was a really revolutionary idea in 2007 when Netflix came out of it. Well, now they're talking about that coming out for video games. The problem is it's a lot harder to make a video game that's interactive that works over the internet than it is a movie. So what's happened is that Google jumped in. They have this new thing called Stadia. It launched this week. And one of the things about it is that they were going to be, I mean, this is, again, right, just like Google Plus, huge company, unlimited resources. They're going to take over the world. Well, our review at CNET and a lot of people agreed with us, it's not ready for prime time. So if you are excited about the future of gaming, you might still want to hold off a little bit. You know, it's an interesting idea. The pricing's a little wacky, but it does talk about the future. And by the way, Microsoft is building a competing service that's likely to come next year. Sony already has a competing service you can use today for $9.99 a month. There's a bunch of other ones coming out. So this is going to eventually be a part of the future. But if it's anything like what Stadia is doing, there's a lot of work to do. A
lot of work. Okay. And again, you guys, you have all of these articles that are available at CNET.com to help you out and to navigate through the tech world. Ian, always a pleasure to have you on, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Yes, you too. Thanks for having me.
All right, Ian, take care. Ian Schur, everybody, joins us once a month. The news editor at large for CNET.com. Always have a lot of fun talking tech with Ian. He's great. And, yeah, always check out CNET.com. They're on top of it. They are. All right, let's take a break here. 312-981-7200. We'll get back to it right after this on WGN.